sites were mentioned to me. Some of those sites didn't seem to make any sense to me professionally, but I think it's a good site. I just, you know, the just depends on if there are other ones, if you want me to look at them and put them to sleep. that's my job. You know?
I'd rather spend your time on something positive than justifying something that you're going to put to sleep. I happen to agree with you that I think this is by far the best site, and it's also not going to be as expensive as some of the other sites, because I believe some of the other ones have some issues with them that have to be rectified first. So, but if anybody else has any opinion, speak up.
Well, the only reason we took those other sites because they were all town-owned and large enough to fit the building. We were afraid that if we looked at another expense on top of the building. So that's why we selected those, just for the sake of looking at the large pieces. And I agree, they're not prime pieces. They're not in the center of the town. They're scattered all over the place. So I agree. I think this is the best site and the site that's going to sell the best.
In other communities, we find that using non-town-owned land is generally a non-starter in terms of evaluating the site. It takes potential revenue-generating properties off the tax roll or potential tax roll and really devalues the site in terms of its sort of potential ranking, so to speak. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, this is going to be a big event. I mean, we just recently did Woodlands Community Center. It's a 35,000 square foot building, and, you know, built in the public delivery method, and it costs $425 a square foot. And that was a site that they owned. They didn't have to buy the site, and they had the infrastructure on the site. So the cost of this building or this project will likely be between $400 and $450 a square foot in the public bid realm. Now, you guys have a unique design build delivery method, which could save a little bit on that. And I think you have sort of historical data that demonstrates that. You're not going to save a huge amount on those numbers. It's a big investment. So if you can save, you know, $1 million or a couple million, you know, against purchase of a site and fit out an infrastructure, that weighs heavily.
Agreed.
Yeah, so I'll go with this site and just do our test on this one.
Yeah. I wouldn't waste any. I wouldn't spend any time on any other site. I specifically go at the building on this site and full speed ahead.
All right. Well, we will let you down a little.
Anybody else have anything to add?
Is it Don? I just like. Right now, let's pick the subcommittee, let's call it. I'm not one of them, so I'll make it a little shorter.
Volunteer?
Well, I can do it in the afternoon. That's my available time these days.
I'd like to help, but I can't. I don't have the time, really, right now. If it was after 5, I could, but anything during the day is really rough right now. I'm sorry, I can listen in. Yeah, I can listen in, but I won't be able to comment.
Well, I mean, I think Bart, Tom, and Tom, Tom Salamino, you can you do it?
I can participate. By call. Just really flexible to be able to do that.
All right. So, Tom, what we need to do is get back to you quickly with the cutoff date, and then at the same time, maybe we can talk about when you'd like to have the first of these meetings, see how it goes, and then we can go from there about how things move forward. And if anybody has any questions, they can. I'd like to get if Mike, I could ask Mike Ahern if I could ask you to be sort of the collector of emails and questions, because you're at the town and we're all in our houses and jobs. That might be a more central point, because you can then just walk over to maybe take care of stuff, and I will check in all from time to time with you and Lisa. Is that okay with you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, Tom or Terry, if you have questions for the Public Building Commission, I think the best thing to do would be to contact Mike and Lisa, and they can get a hold of whoever they need, me, Bart, anybody else. So that from a communication standpoint, you'll be talking to the same people all the time, and we can keep a little bit of control over that. And then we'll have this subcommittee, you know, I guess I'll talk to Bart and Tom and figure out, and you as well, and figure out when you want to have the first meeting, and then we'll go from there. In the meantime, we'll get back to you very quickly with
Tom,
that.
Just,
anything
else? Just for Tom McGarry,
yeah.
once we get to that cutoff date, could you please put that milestone schedule together and see what it would take?
Yeah, we'll have to set up the schedule, but we really need the cutoff date before we can really set a schedule up. But then that'll be one thing that the three of us can work on and report back to you guys, I think. I think that'd be the best way to handle it.
That sounds good. So I just have my to-do list is, one, I'm going to establish a meeting probably early next week with three subcommittee staff. I will review the program, statement of need, and refine the program, and then I will issue it to the building committee for their formal review. We're going to get referendum language based into potentially doing public outreach in smaller groups, maybe 8 to 12 meetings. I hate to do 12, but maybe 8 small meetings. I know the state guidelines right now are meetings of 15 or less.
So we probably have to do those then either in the town hall or the, because we can't use the library. What about the...
We could potentially use the community center if it's only...
Community center, you're right. I don't know if they have any rooms that are big enough to hold 15 at, 8 feet apart or whatever, but we'll look into that, see if we can get the space.
The Board of Ed meeting room is letting us schedule some meetings down there.
Okay, I didn't know if that was open.
It is.
That's factored into... Okay.
Hey, you know what you could do, too? I was just thinking of that. It probably work. You use the outside venue down at the Brolin Fairgrounds. It's covered. Even if it rains, you can set up a screen.
Oh.
They could serve beer.
That's not a bad
idea.
Outside of the box.
All of a sudden, now we have 7 more volunteers who'd like to come with the beer being served.
Yes.
Hey, you never know. So, on top of that, about the schedule, firm up the program, I will, and then I have start the site evaluation a passing way. So, I think I've got plenty to do in the next week, we will
get it. The suggestion I want to make is, If you guys get together in your small subcommittee and something comes about that was totally, and I guess, Mike, you'll have to be in on that meeting if possible.
Yes.
But if something comes that is getting cut that somebody's asked you for, Tom, whether it's the senior center or the committee, if you guys all decide, well, that's not going to be even possible, somebody's going to have to reach out to the senior center or whoever and explain why. Because you have to, we're going to need those people on our side. So we got to be able to explain why. There's got to be a good reason why.
Unfortunately, that's my job, and that's what I get paid.
We'll give you some support for that, at least, you know, common sense support. Sometimes after the people get emotional and curse you out,
the statement needs are very clear.
Yeah.
The statement needs are very clear. Gym, X amount of square footage, or, you know, pool, X amount of square footage. I'm not worried about those things. Those things are what they've asked for. The key are the program spaces that weren't specifically identified. How much storage is there going to be? How many meeting rooms are there going to be? What specifically is the pool going to be? There are some spaces that obviously could be removed, but there also are spaces that could potentially be smaller to consolidate. It would also be good for me, one of the reasons I want to have this sort of small group, is to have someone actually tell me what the magic number is. There's a magic supportable number. And now maybe that shouldn't be important for me. And maybe that's not really reachable because sometimes it isn't. But if that information exists, no one has to talk about that right now in this public forum. But if that information exists, it would be valuable if someone accidentally sends it to me.
I have no idea what that is, and people. Well, they thought the high school was going to cost $108 million, and it didn't. So, I'm of the mind, and I've always been this way, of, look, you get a statement of need, and you do it correctly, and you build a nice building, and this is the cost, period. And if it's not going to cost, then shame on them, because they don't know. That's why we have a public building commission, to go through this, to come up with a real cost and a real schedule. And I think we've demonstrated as a public building commission that we know what we're doing with respect to costs and schedules. I don't know if there's any credibility to us on what that number is, but when you try to force a magic number into something that doesn't work, you get what you pay for. You get either trouble or a shitty product. You know that as well as anybody, Tom.
That's the most refreshing thing I've heard in years.
Well, the good news is I'm blunt, and I'm not afraid to tell anybody that, but that doesn't always work politically.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. Well.
I just would rather be able to defend, your good work product with what real costs are and not plug for $7 million. Well, yeah, if we put up tents, we can. Again, that's part of why you have seven people here who have expertise in the all aspects of the construction business to come up with accurate costs so that people don't get shocked. So really, the way we have it structured in Berlin, they shouldn't be worried about the cost. That's our job. And then our job is to administrate it well. So, but, if there is a number, I know what you mean. Nobody wants to go through an exercise here and say, well, if you can't get it done for $11 million, it's not going to fly. But they should tell us that up front. Or they should say, look, what can you build for $11 million? And then we can be more accurate. But if we work off of a statement of need, as the charter tells us, the numbers, that's what we're supposed to develop. Having said all that and pontificated, if there's a magic number, somebody will get it to you.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate that. Okay, well... Yep.
All right, I think you're free to go, Tom. Let you out of jail.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming.
I appreciate it. All right,
good night. Okay, then the last thing we have, second to last thing, is the Physical Services Complex Wash Day. And I'm sure Mike has been to about 15 towns violating all sorts of COVID protocols to look at some.
I'm setting up appointments now. I have not gone. I was going to go to New Britain today, but my approach is going to be this. I want to go to see two towns, New Britain and West Hartford, that have... New Britain's been in operation for probably more than 15 years. They have a pressure washer system, not a drive-through. The same with West Hartford, but they have a newer system. And then Norwich has, from what I understand, the holy grail of drive-through system, so I want to go see that. I also reached out to both the Highway Department and the Parks and Grounds guys to see what their feelings were on the drive-through versus the pressure washer system. And I also received some feedback from Keith in West Hartford, who said that they actually prefer the pressure washer system because they can get into these hard-to-reach places in their equipment. And Woody at Parks and Grounds said the same thing, and so did Steve Karp and Danny in the Highway Department. They have a fire hose for the instead of a pressure washer. And they have, for the undercarriage, they have a slotted PVC pipe that they hook another hose up to, and it sprays up. No detergents. This is, you know, and it's all cold water. And so, in their mind, the drive-through would be great, but they also recognize the budget situation we're in and we're probably always going to be in. So they're like, Mike, if we get a fully enclosed, you know, structure with a pressure washer system, with some detergent and an undercarriage spray component, they'd be more than happy with that. So, you know, and then the cost, I just took a look at, like, Jakunski and Union's budget numbers. And when you look at the, forget about the base proposal, which was just to enclose what they have. So I just assumed they had an alternative expanding it to give us more room and fit a plow truck and some cushion on the back and front ends. You throw all that together, it's about $400,000. And then if you throw on the pressure washer system, it's another 30 to 50. So you're around 40,000, you know, roughly speaking, and that includes design and administration and a 10% contingency. Now, this was done, you know, probably a year and a half ago. But if we throw a $150,000 drive-through system on, it'll bump that over the money we have available. So it's almost like going for this drive-through system is going to take away from the cost for the structure. So I guess I'm going to go through and take a look at the drive-through system, but I figured I'd just talk to you guys about, is it even reasonable with the cost? And we got two firm, you know, $150,000 quotes from two companies who were, one of which is actually did it in Norwich.
The money?
So it's, and if the drive-through, it's a great idea. I'd love to have it. The guys probably would grow to like it, and you could have a pressure washer system in addition to that. But is it like a bridge too far type thing?
Yep.
Okay.
You got also look at labor costs over 15 years for each vehicle being washed, whatever you think you're going to wash them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other factors here. It's not just, and I agree, maybe it is a bridge too far, but you have to, if you're going to evaluate it.
Okay.
Yeah, but the labor cost is the driver, right? I mean,
well, they're already doing it. That's what I'm saying. And they're already doing it less efficiently. So you're already spending maybe more labor on it. Now, you would save on time with a drive-through system. Absolutely. You know, after a snowstorm, the next day they'll wash the trucks. I mean, it's not like, I don't know what the advantages are, really, realistically speaking, in this context.
Plus, we're talking about being able to run fire and police through there and ambulances and helping the life expectancy of the vehicles because they're going to have their undercarriages cleaned more frequently. So, yeah, it's not quite as simple, but I can appreciate everything you said.
Yeah, and the undercarriage component, that is something that we will put in, I think, no matter which way we went, because there are, in fact, I was looking with some research with some of the other public works folks who have done this, and there's one recommendation about an undercarriage component that they hooked up to a pressure washer system. So there's a kind of an element of a drive-through you can have for the undercarriage, And in addition to the pressure washer outside and you know, in the nooks and crannies above the undercarriage. So you will get some of that. But I understand what you're saying. If you can run all the police, the fire, the nurses, the town hall cars through that a drive-thru system, you're actually extending their life with the drive-thru system.
Yes, this is done, Lombardo. I just say that, you know, I'm all in for it. If the building costs a little more and the system costs a little more, but we're saving on labor, that's huge.
Okay.
You know, and it's probably well worth it. As long as we can show that and explain that to everyone reasonably, that say, listen, you know, this guy's going to drive his car, he's going to hit a button, it's going to wash the whole vehicle without him getting out, and he drives through, and the cop cars do the same in all these other vehicles, it becomes a no-brainer, really.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of the service, just going to come down to the service warranty after that.
Okay.
And
so I do have these things, and now it's kind of opening up. So I was talking to the guy in New Britain, a public works director there, and he was like, oh, yeah, just come on now. We're kind of, you know, open for business. So I think it's a better time right now to do these.
Hey, Mike, if you want some publicity for the DPW, maybe we could hold some of these public meetings in the salt shed.
Actually, we have salt in there, Tom. We had a light winter, so we have a little bit of a surplus for next year.
More savings.
Yes, exactly. And Matt, in fact, you're right. We pre-purchased to save the town money.
But it's cheap. If you got salt in there, you got tiered seating.
Well, we could have a loader go in and level it out if you want. We could stand like we're standing in beach sand.
My eyes are rolling. Okay, we've been on.
Do you get the same amount of money if you're on for 2 hours?
It's not about the money, sweetheart.
All right. Anybody else have anything for the watch bag? Then I need a motion to adjourn.
Too many people. Say a name.
Next.
Thank you.
Bart.
Thank you. All those in favor.
Well, we'll
okay.
See you next month, but I'm sure we'll report to you. Some of us will report to you sooner. So.
Yeah, we have some homework to do too.
Thank you.
All right, everybody.
All right.
That's funny.
Do you think you got the system to record or no?
807.